knew there'd be something going on there. And, but that's why, you know, I sort of wonder, it's not a good idea to get out of there. I mean,
say, actually, it's interview.
You do. You really do. Alright. First, it's a little close. Okay. No, because you have to be serious.
Is it turned on?
Yes, it's on. It's making me laugh. Alright. We're wasting all this tape
when
here.
When do I tell my spot?
Oh, no.
I
can ask that, too.
First off.
Say it as part of something, you know, like, well, I know what I can ask it for that. Something about the, you know, trying to run the race on your own and stuff. All right, the first question, being a rookie, what do you see as some of the advantages and disadvantages of going into the race as a rookie, if there are any advantages?
The disadvantages of really just not knowing, you know, the trail itself, you know, I don't know, just you lose a lot of time, you know, possibly getting lost or something, you know.
What have you found? You mentioned before that you rely on a lot of what other mushers have told you to, you know, guys that have been through the race and stuff. What kinds of information did they give you that you know, for instance, that you found helpful so far?
Well, mostly the particulars about foot problems and mostly where the dogs are gonna, their health is gonna go a lot, you know, down, and why you're gonna drop dogs and stuff like that, and what to watch out for and what to, I don't know, kind of care for and to watch for along the race. I don't know.
What is your goal for this Iditarod? Everybody's got a different thing. Lots of rookies go in it just to finish. Some go in to win it. Believe it or not. What's yours?
Well, I have to admit, this year I'd really say just to finish, more or less. Not really, I'm not trying to, you know, really beat anybody, but just more or less just try to do the best I can with the dogs I have this year, you know. I, you know, they're pretty good dogs, but I feel as if I could have better, but I don't know, money is definitely a big part of it, you know, of this race at least.
What kind of strategy do you have with your dogs? Like, what kind of, I don't know, different mushers have different relationships with their dogs. How would you describe yours? I mean, is it master to servant? Is it more like they're your friends? Or are they, I don't know, what is your relationship with your dogs?
Well, I've got more of a serious, it seems like my dog team's more serious, actually. I've tried over the years to have a much more serious dog team of just solid performance and stuff, and not try to get away from a lot of the silly problems that you have with, you know, even silly stuff like tangles or dogs looking around or something. Just more or less a downright serious, hard, full-hearted dog, you know, that just performs and just wants to work solidly and with good feet, and not, you know, not a lot of the small problems you have, really. I don't know, more or less just real serious. Just kind
of most of the dog mushers that I know have this real I don't know what you call it, I guess it's tension, one going one way saying that you know, you want to be out with the dogs and everything, but then the other is the financial problems of having a dog team. And most people, guys that are married, tend to be really stressed out with their families and the relationship, and because of the financial strain on the Iditarod, and the guys that are in it themselves just can't seem to swing the money to do what it takes for the Iditarod. First, I'd like to ask you about those problems, and then secondly, why, in spite of all those problems, do you still like to do it? What is it about dog mushing or being out there? Is it just a competition, or is it something more personal than that?
No, I wouldn't say it's definitely the competition. It's definitely being out in the kind of out in the country. I like to camp out a lot, but at the same time, it's just, it takes up a lot of time. I like to keep myself busy,
that's okay.
And I've always
I can splice it.
I've always
this is what they call an outtake.
We'll use that one of these times. We'll put together a whole thing about takes. Daddy!
But, no, I really enjoy being out there more or less, more than anything else. That's it's not the competition of it. You know, it is in a way, but But more or less, I like being out in the wilderness. I always have, you know, being. But one thing that happened to us this year was we had another baby, which was pretty, it was a little bit of a financial problem and stuff. And that was...
Shake and what do you have to say about being a financial problem?
What about your feeding schedule and your different types of what you feed? Everybody's got their own little different recipe about what they're going to feed their dogs. What do you have for yours? Do you have anything anything unique or different, or what's your feeding schedule and habit?
No, I wouldn't say it's too much different. I'll be feeding, I don't know, fish and beef and chicken and actually probably Yukonuba. And... But nothing real different. I'm going to be using a different type of, actually, bases this year. I'm going to be using a beef base and a fish base for them to drink a little bit more. And the bases are expensive, and they're made directly from, you know, like the poultry products or the fish products, and it's... Actually, it's even just for a quart of it, it's about $26 a piece, and it's just, it's a real concentrate, and hopefully it'll help me, you know, with my, any dehydration problems that I'll have, or, you know, that we all have sort of out there, you know.
If you had any advice for, let's say, someone who's sitting out there right now thinking of running the Iditarod next year, and you haven't run it yet yourself, but you've gone through at least three quarters of it, which running up to the race at least, what advice would you give somebody? Just, you know, let's just say, you know, pretty much like you were last year, is there anything especially that you think they should know?
Yeah, save your money. That's the biggest part, I would say. The money is really everything. It's starting to be everything in the race that I can see, you know. In other words, the buying of super, you know, super good dogs and just the right equipment all the way. You know, some people can spend $100 on runners using, you know, quarter-inch P-Tex from Europe, you know, and some people, you know, just don't have that money to help the dogs out, and it's just, I would say the money part of it is really the number one thing out there.
You have, you were able to get sponsorship. How did you do that, and what advice do you have someone that's out looking for sponsors and stuff?
Well, I'm a chef, and I don't know. I worked at the Sheraton Anchorage, and I also worked for Botel, which both of them sponsored me. And when I was, they were happy to sponsor me and stuff. They were glad to see that somebody was in the cooking business, actually, that was, into dog mushing itself, you know, into the sport. And I didn't have too many problems there, but. They, being in the cooking business, you get access to a lot of food and stuff, and so a lot of it is a lot of write-off for them compared to different just solid money sponsors, you know.
Take this out here. I got one last question. This may sound like a real,
Shush. Go on.
Have a drink of your beer.
No.
Come see Mama.
Okay.
Turn this off for a second. I got one real stupid question. You're gonna laugh, but you might be the only chef out on the Iditarod Trail, and I was wondering, is there any similarity at all to mushing and being a chef at all? Any of the same skills, or are the exact opposites?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't say that in some ways. It's an interesting thing to work with dogs, with the food that you know, the knowledge that you have, with the nutrition that you have with dogs can work directly. You know, it's just like a silly thing. Someone once said we could actually feed a hollandaise to a dog team. Well, really all a hollandaise is really just an egg yolk base, which is real good for dogs, and a solid butter base, you know, which, I mean, you couldn't feed them directly, but you could feed some of it to them, and it wouldn't hurt them at all, and it would probably help them a little bit, you know. But No, I wouldn't say there's not much. There's just not much comparison, really.
Well, see, now I can see right now just what you said there to me was pretty interesting. Listening to how a chef looks at being. You know, my first question, that's about it, but it's not a toughie. I'll get over here, so.
All right.
Be so. Steve, now maybe you're not going to like the way I'm going to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. It seems as though you have a, unlike a lot of the other mushers, you really seem to be in mushing for a different reason or a unique reason. Maybe you don't think so, but just looking at the other guys, you know, like for instance, you take that race between here and Angel Creek and camping out and just, you know, taking your time and doing the best you can, and the same with other races. You don't seem to be concerned about... I don't know, you don't seem at all to be even thinking about competition at all, whereas even guys who say they're not competitive, you know, you listen to them and they seem to be. But you're different. I mean, it seems to me that you're different. And what is your philosophy of dog mushing, and how do you see the whole thing?
Well, I do believe you have to stop and smell the roses. I am competitive, and I guess I really don't express it very much. I am in mushing, I think, because of the pleasure that it derives to me. Otherwise, you know, if you're not having fun or learning something, it's not worth doing.
What's your goal for this Iditarod? Some people want to finish in the top 20. Some people just want to finish. What's yours?
I have a bicycle to return to a girl I know in Nome. And that's how I'll return the bike.
Are you going to carry the bike on your sled?
Just the handlebars. You know, and then for sure, then I'll have to send the rest of the bike tour. I've been meaning to do this for 2 years. And so I'll get it there somehow.
Steve, now how long has running the Iditarod been a goal for you? Like, where did that first thought come in? Some people it's been developing for 10 years or so, and other people, you know, just in the last couple of years. When did...
First thought for the Iditarod come to you, and when all of a sudden did it become a reality for you?
Well, first time I ever mushed more than 3 dogs, I said, this is fun, and I think anyone who does that dreams of the Iditarod. And that was about 3 years ago, and when I moved to Fairbanks, then it became a reality, mainly because of the access. Being out in Bethel, it's very expensive getting anywhere, and being in Fairbanks here, it's much more accessible, and I've had good neighbors and good luck.
What about that? I'd like to ask that. I mean, there must be about at least 5 or 6 Iditarod mushers who you converse with regularly, it seems, or at least past ones, too. How important is that? I mean, you were in Bethel and you were mushing there. Now there's, of course, a number of mushers down there too, but up here in Fairbanks it seems to be different. How important is that? You know, that comradeship or whatever, and being able to sit down and chat about different sorts of things, or even just having people to see at the races and stuff.
Well, I think that the whole activity, of course, has changed in Bethel over the past year or so. You know, there's a lot more local mushers in Bethel, and that's very good. But and up here, you know, there are a lot of mushers that are doing things, and that's very good. But when you're doing something like the Iditarod and you've never done it before, and you put everything together that you know of winter camping and mushing dogs, and try to visualize what you would need, when you're able to talk to people that have done it and that have you know, experienced it, you can gain an awful lot from them about the race, and I think prevent making some very stupid mistakes. You'll make plenty of mistakes, I'm sure, but they'll be your own and your original. The people that I've talked to have been just very open and very kind about information, and that many times is what'll get you through.
Steve, what are you looking forward to on the Iditarod, and what are you not looking forward to? Anything?
Well, I'm not really looking forward to any rain. That would be a real drag. But what I'm looking forward to is just getting to Nome. I think the accomplishment, the fact that that you can do it, you can take dogs that you know, and train them through the year, and have this as the end result. I think it's a great challenge that a person would take up.
More than some people, it seems, again, I might be off base, but it seems like more than some people, or compared to some people, you don't have as much help from other sources, like, the ghouls. But other than that, it seems like, you know, you don't have a wife or a girlfriend that's out there every day with you, or you don't have a dog handler and stuff like that. What is it like, you know, being, you know, do you have a sponsor?
No, except for Gould.
Except for Gould. So, you know, like, you don't have a big-time sponsor. Do you think that's a distinct disadvantage? And if it is, like, how do you overcome it? I mean, how do you deal with it, even emotionally and psychologically going into that race, knowing that there are guys out there that, even some of the guys that aren't the Rick Swensons still have a lot of the more competitive edge just in terms of the financial time and the dog handlers and all that.
Well, without having anyone to help you, it does get down at a lot of times. And usually if you have someone else that you can talk to that's mushing, when they're down, you're up. When you're up, they're down, or vice versa. And you can bring each other along. When you're doing it alone, it's every day get up and put yourself through the routine. It does get to be drudgery at times, and you wonder, why am I doing this? But then you get out on the trail and you're running along, and it happens to be a very good day, and you know, your leaders go on the trails you want to go on, and no one's getting tangled. It's a very good day. Things are just really going for it. Then it's all worth it. The reward that you get back from it is worth the energy and emotional input that you put into it, and it has to be that way or you couldn't keep doing it. But I do have an awful lot of friends that have helped me, everything from making booties to, you know, just cheering me on. And so I haven't really felt alone in this. You know, it's been good.
Do you have any advice for someone that might be sitting out there that is thinking of running the Iditarod next year as a rookie that's sort of in a similar position as yourself, you know, no real sponsor or some friends help, but no real, you know, concrete... Well, I shouldn't call it ghouls, not concrete, but not the real hardcore support. Any ideas to them?
Save your money and go to Hawaii. I think that would be the sane thing to do. Otherwise, unless your dogs have Social Security numbers, it's very difficult to rationalize doing this sort of thing. It's something that if you want to do it, you do it. I have a inbox, and I have thrown every slip of paper that I've ever spent on my dogs ever since when I started off at 3. I've been throwing them in a box, and I am afraid to open the box and look and add it up because it would astound me. But that's not the reason one does it.
Okay, boy, that's a good answer, Steve.
All right, there we go.
Oh, we mentioned sponsors, and what is this going to
yes.
be on?
It's Alaska Public Radio Network, all
and
the
we can
statewide...
Say something about sponsors.
Yeah, you can say whatever you want.
Okay.
In fact, I'll ask you a question about that, being in the mushing business myself. Frank, let's see, it's about 6 weeks before the Iditarod. You've won 2 races now. How's it feel, and what are you thinking about?
Well, the first thing I want to say is Sue Boyle, I've sure heard a lot about you, and I've been dying to meet you. And I want to shake your hand. Good to meet you. Well, we feel real good about it. I don't know how strong the dogs are, but they're doing good, real good so far. And we're going to take our time and be careful, and maybe we'll win some more races. Maybe we'll win the Iditarod. You never know, you know.
Frank, everybody's got a different reason to this, to the answer to this question, but why do you want to run the Iditarod?
Well, I've always been interested in finding out what the measure of myself is. And I got into dog driving, and then I found out that it's a real intensive kind of thing if you want to be competitive and find out what the measure of dogs are. And then in turn, kind of find out what the measure of myself is too. how well I can train them and set things up for particular races and see how well we do. It's just sort of what everybody's got in them, I guess, to find out what their measure is. Sounds dumb, huh?
No, it doesn't at all. What about, I don't know, being a rookie, there's got to be a lot of disadvantages. You haven't been on the trail, you don't know anything about it. What kinds of things do you think about being a rookie and keeping that in mind?
I think about running my own race, not being intimidated by what the other guys are doing that have been out there before. And I know some of my best friends, some of my best friends are dog mushers. Would you believe that? But I got lots and lots of friends that have run the Iditarod, and they all give me information and such as that, but they all say, stress one specific thing, and that's run your own race. And so I don't really have a lot of hang-ups about the Iditarod. I'm not going to start driving hard and try to do real good. I've got a plan for it, and I'm going to stick to it. And if it works, it works. And if it don't, I'll do something different the next time.
What about sponsors? Some people say that you can't run the race without them. Some people don't even have them. What do you think about sponsors?
Well, you can't run the race without sponsors. And one of the problems that we're having right now with the media is that in a lot of interviews and things like that, you're not allowed to mention your sponsors. My sponsor is, can I mention it, Sue? Bishop Cable Company out of Anchorage, Alaska. They also sponsor Charlie Champagne. And without the sponsors, you couldn't run the race because the expense of running these races and training and the whole routine is a real heavy burden. And I don't think I couldn't do it without them. You know, like I've got enough sponsorship right now to pay the feed bill until the end of the Iditarod. And without it, I couldn't even run it, you know? And so everybody says things about the racers and the Iditarod Trail Committee and all that. And that's good. It's all well and good, and it takes that too. But without sponsors, there wouldn't even be an Iditarod.
Whatever got you involved in dogs? I mean, where did that first thought come from? Was it years and years ago, or was it something you just sort of walked into, or how did you start getting into the dogs?
Well, it was a few years ago. I used to live in Hope, a little village on the Kenai Peninsula, and a friend of mine got some dogs, and there were teams in town, and I was running a little trap line, and I thought it'd be really neat to have a few dogs and drive them on the trap line. And then I got to driving the dogs, and I got more interested in dogs than trapping. And this whole routine of racing and all that is a really big thing. And there's a sort of spirit there that rejuvenates what we can't do anymore, you know, in our kind of a civilized system that we've got. And so I just got in more into the dogs than trapping, and I guess that's how I got there.
What? No, it doesn't at all, Frank. What kind of? You said you're going to run your own race. What is Frank Brown's race?
Well, I got a little plan there, you know. I've driven dogs long enough to know what I can get out of them in a certain period of time, and what kind of feed they need and all that. And it's a kind of a schedule that I've set up. And I plan on running in the afternoons and in the evening. And I also plan on a certain schedule of feeding, and to keep the dogs always primed and in good shape and never bummed out. And I think that way, rather than burn the dogs up real fast on the trail, I think over a long period of time, the dogs will do real well. And that's the whole point of the race anyway. To do well yourself and for your dogs to do well. You know, you could burn up 16 dogs and win the race maybe, but that's not the whole point of it.
Last question. Are we going to see Frank Brown as Rookie of the Year?
This is terrible. Oh, wow. Rookie of the what?
Rookie of the year.
Of the year?
Yeah, yeah. The rookie of the year. Fastest time for a rookie.
I could never make a prediction like that, but we're going to do as well as we can do. We're going to do the race as a race, and we're going to do as well as we can do.
About the Iditarod, you mentioned this is your second running for the Iditarod. Why do you want to run the Iditarod? I mean, everybody's got their own different reason. What's yours?
I guess just trying to constantly improve your dogs and their performance and your performance. Like, I have a certain idea what I'd like to run the race in, and I'm not running it particularly against the other mushers. I mean, I'd like to do well compared to them, but I'm running my schedule, and if I can make my time, I'll be pleased, even if it means finishing out of the money.
Going the second year now, you must have learned some things the first time around. What are you going to do different this year?
Well, second time around, you'll have a better sense of where you are. Like, lots of times last year, I found myself not knowing how close I was to a checkpoint, if I should stop and camp or keep going till I get to a checkpoint, and just more of a sense of where you are and a few better things about dog care and little things here and there.
Did you change any diets or training schedule to train more this year? It seems most people who ran it the first time usually end up having only like 500, maybe 800 miles at most on their dogs. But second year they come back, they do a lot more with that, and they usually get a little more scientific about it. Did you find that was true for you too?
No. On the average, I should have about the same amount of miles on my dogs this year as last year. Nothing totally different from last year.
What's the best part about Iditarod for you?
Oh, just being out there. I really enjoyed the scenery. That may sound funny, but I'd never been over the trail before, and there's some really pretty parts of the state, and it's a nice way to see it. So I really enjoy being out there with the dogs. The worst part, maybe I shouldn't say, but I don't like necessarily all the hoopla at the beginning of the race. It was a relief to leave the start and get out in the woods with the dogs, and I calmed down then.
Back to this race you just won, how do you feel?
Well, I feel happy. Like I say, we can really use the money, and all the dogs came out healthy. Nobody's hurt, nobody's stiff, and that was my biggest concern about not running this race, was the possibility of hurting a dog on a hard trail. Because I'm really close on dogs for the Iditarod, and I couldn't hurt a dog, couldn't afford to hurt one, but we came out in good shape.
Hey, Ed, your first running at the Iditarod, how come? Why do you want to enter? I mean, it costs a lot of money for one, takes a heck of a lot of time. Why run the Iditarod?
Well, I really enjoy dog mushing, and I like being outside, and I think it's fun to try and build a dog team that can go fast and travel over a lot of country at the same time.
Being a rookie, you've got a lot of disadvantage from some of the other guys out there. Do you think you have a chance against some of those big guys? Do you think you can give it a shot at least?
Well, I think they have an advantage right off at having run the race before. The best I can do is just in the past couple of years, I've just talked to a lot of mushers who've run the race, and try and learn as much as I can from those people about how to run the race, and try and do that. And when I start the race, I'll just take my time and try and get my dogs into a routine and watch them and see how they are adapting to the trail conditions, and I'll just take my time and find out how it goes.
Do you have any special strategy? I mean, are you going to try the Yukon River Foxes strategy, or are you going to go on your own schedule, or what? What do you have? What are you looking at?
Well, I would like to just take my time in the very beginning, and because my dogs Some of them are from Iditarod mushers, and they've been on the race before, but a lot of them are untested. So I think the best thing to do would be for the first half of the race, take it easy and see how they're doing, watch their feet, feed them, water them, take my time, and if that works out and I'm doing things right, then they might have something left for competing with everybody else in the end.
Living in the village, do you serve lots of, oh, thanks, Ethan, bye-bye. Do you serve lots of fish to your dogs being out there, or what kind of diet do you have the dogs on? I know out in the villages it's sometimes tough to get all this other stuff like chicken and but on the other hand, it's awful tough for the guys in Fairbanks to get mutton and stuff like that. What kind of a diet do you have the dogs on?
Well, this year I was real lucky because I had sponsors, and I started out training, feeding the dogs commercial dog food and cooking dried salmon that was caught on the Yukon. And I fed them that through the first half of training. And then I thought it was a good idea to get the dogs used to what they're going to be fed in the Iditarod. So I, you know, with sponsors' help, I was able to fly out some chicken from Fairbanks and feed them this month of January, the chicken, and get them used to that. And that's really excellent dog food. And they weren't doing too well on the fish and commercial feed, but when I started feeding the chicken, they really picked up.
Which one's your boyfriend?
What's your biggest anxiety going into the Iditarod?
I'll bet you
that's
your
boyfriend. That's a tough question.
I'll bet you it is.
I guess I'm worried that some of my dogs might not make it. I just worried about finishing. I know I have a pretty good dog team. I just have to take my time and make sure I take good care of the dogs. That's the most important thing as far as I can see.
Will we see Ed Foran as the Rookie of the Year?
I think if I do everything right, it's a possibility, but I'm trying not to think about it. If I think first about the Rookie of the Year, then I should be thinking about my dogs instead of thinking about glory. So we'll see. It'd be nice, but I'm not expecting it. There's a lot of other rookies out there that have some real good teams.
Last question. I notice, at least even in our family, it seems to be a real cooperative effort from friends or at least your family. How about in your case? Do you what is it like for you? And also, you can mention your sponsors if you want. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it's definitely a family effort. It couldn't be done without your family. And in this case, I'm speaking for my wife, who's a school teacher and working full-time out there, but yet she finds the time to help me hook up the dogs and comes with me on runs. And her advice is really helpful. And she, plus her encouragement, you know, especially in times when the dogs are looking kind of bad, it's nice to have your wife there to you know, say, well, you know, they're just this is that it's happened, so they'll come along. But my family back in Chicago was mainly responsible in helping me raise the sponsors that I got for this race. They have taken a great interest in dog mushing and thought it was really neat that I was running the Iditarod, and I said that I needed some sponsors, and they helped me get a hold of some business people in Chicago, and I made a trip down there and brought some slides that were given to me on the race by Joe Reddington, and brought down a lot of information on the race and gave a slideshow and a talk to a bunch of various business people in Chicago, and is able to raise plenty of money to run the race this year. And I'll try and mention most of my sponsors here. Let's see, there's 12 of them, and they're all from Chicago except for a couple. There's Sassafras Enterprises, Pacific Wine Company, the DG Group, Myron Harpole, Plastic and Metalworkers Union of Chicago, Petros Kogionis, uh, Is it all right if I think of, you can just edit?
Okay. Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, in fact, that's probably what I'll do.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of mushers run into the trouble that they don't get sponsors or they don't know how to approach them. And it sounds like you had a real, you're a rookie, and it sounds like you got the right, you went to the right place, you did the right thing. What advice would you have for some ushers that are, well, let's phrase it differently. How important is it having a good sponsor and having the funds, and how are you able to get it?
Well, it's very important. You know, your sponsor is if you have a good sponsor, it enables you to buy the best kind of dog food to feed your dogs in the race, the best kind of equipment, sleds, harnesses, medication for your dogs and during training, travel expenses. You know, naturally, if you're supporting yourself, you're going to cut corners because you need to support your family at the same time. With the sponsor, it enables you to, you know, to splurge a little bit. And the Iditarod is definitely something, an expensive camping trip. But if you're serious about it, you've got to go with the best equipment possible. And that includes buying dogs, too. And I think it shows with the mushers that are most successful also have extremely good sponsors. For a rookie, it's pretty difficult because you don't really have a reputation to fall back on, but also people like to support somebody who's starting out in the Iditarod for the first time. What I would recommend is, it seems like Alaska is pretty hard to get sponsors because there's, you know, business people are probably swamped with mushers all the time asking for sponsors. If you're ever going outside to visit your family, if you have family outside, bring back some pictures and slides and information on the Iditarod. People are fascinated by it outside, and they really like to get involved in something like that. And I would suggest somebody trying that when they, you know, to get sponsors. I think there's a lot of people that would be willing to do it.